would take a long time.
Good. So the more you follow the force, we'll use your language, the easier it becomes to do so. And the more you trivialize it, walk away from it, don't respond, deny it, the more powerful it gets, the more sway it has over you, the more stoppable you become. So it has its own momentum. Now, this all sounds like very everyday stuff and very simple stuff and stuff anybody can figure out. And it is. But believe it or not, this is nothing other and no different than in Eastern traditions when they talk about various absolute disciplines of spiritual life. This is a discipline. The discipline of being unstoppable. The spiritual practice, the spiritual discipline of having literally the willpower to say yes to your own intention and no to the barriers, to not let something stop you. This is taught in monasteries and ashrams all over the place. And people practice this as a self-discipline, how to not follow your own momentary preferences. So if we talk about this the way we're doing, if we joke about how a little bit of rain stops people, it's really a much bigger topic than how it sounds. This is part of, this discussion is part of the actual, serious, arduous discipline of not following one's willfulness, one's meandering mind preferences that change from moment to moment. And this is the essence of many difficult and serious spiritual practices that people do as a life practice, moment to moment, 24 hours a day. The reason for the ascetic life that's practiced in some ashrams and monasteries where material possessions are at a minimum and people live in small rooms and sleep on hard mats and don't give themselves any creature comforts and get up at 4 a.m. to pray or to meditate or whatever it is. The whole reason for asceticism is so that you can be less distracted. Primarily the reason asceticism is practiced is so you can be not so much distracted from this particular spiritual discipline of controlling the mind. It's really controlling your own mind, controlling your own momentary desires. And this is one of the highest and most difficult spiritual practices. So understand, what's my point in saying all this? Understand that it's not this faraway, complex, otherworldly, other culture, other, you have to be a monk and in a robe and whatever kind of thing we're talking about. We're talking about something as simple as when it rains, do you follow your heart to the spiritual meeting you really want to go to, or do you stay home because it's inconvenient? That's the essence of it. Sure, the monk in the ashram living with no possessions and living an ascetic life has made a decision that I'm going to marshal all the forces possible for my success. I'm going to give up everything so that I have a chance to really not be led around by the nose, by my own mind, by my own desires. But that's no different. That's no different. Maybe a different level of commitment, but no different than having the regular life we all have, you know, material culture like the one we live in, and at the same time making yourself unstoppable spiritually. You don't have to live in a monastery in the Himalayas to practice this, and you are actually practicing it when everything in you says, I don't want to go, and you go anyway. That is the practice. That's no different than what the monk is doing. He doesn't want to get up necessarily at 4 a.m. to go to the meditation hall. It's cold, it's windy, he's hungry. It's no different. It's no different for you in your life than for the spiritual renunciate who's practicing it as a super serious practice. So if you can see yourself as a lay monk, it's not far from the truth. If you're serious about the spiritual, then you will have to, in one way or another, you will notice that you find yourself in a situation where some kind of disciplining of yourself, of your own mind, of your own desires and tendencies will become required. And I'm talking about it because you may not notice it. It's happened probably to everybody in this room.